In Jesus' name, Lord, even as we begin our meeting, I pray, oh God, that you bless every listener, every person who's listening in tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm grateful for every person that's listening in. Those who are listening in on the podcast, I pray, Almighty God, that they receive the word. Those that are watching this on YouTube, I pray, Father Lord, that they receive the word. Those who are here with me in the Zoom meeting, I pray that they receive your word. In Jesus' name, of God, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the meeting. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm so excited. Praise the Lord. I am so excited. Tonight we continue with the same topic, the power of vision. How many of us are beginning to understand at least something about vision? Yeah, like you understand vision at least. Right? You understand a little something about vision. How many of us understand vision at least to a certain degree? This is our third meeting. I mean, I would hope that you understand something, right? Okay, so tonight we are looking at the principles of vision. Can you see what's on your screen? Confirm with me. If you can see what is on your screen, just so that I know that everybody's looking at what I'm looking at. Are we all looking at the same thing? Maybe we are not. Are we? Okay, there we go. Okay, so when we started, we looked at the source of vision. Last week, we looked at overcoming roadblocks of vision. Tonight, we are looking at the principles of vision. We're going to look at four tonight. They are about 12. So look at four tonight, four next week. And then the last Friday of the month, we're going to look at the last four as well. Right. Okay. So this is you. You guys look amazing. This is why I keep mentioning tag people, right? There's many of us in IBS, and our people need to hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. Okay. So that is us. You guys look, you guys look amazing. Yeah, you all look amazing. It's good to have you here, Mrs. Pepple. I'm so happy you're in the meeting. Okay, let's move on. My name is Robbie Makasa. I am a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm an author, the president of IBS, a guitar instructor, and I'm a teacher of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So, principles of vision. So, you know, I love to interact. What is a principle? Yes, what is a principle? Let's get some definitions in the chat so that we know what we're talking about tonight, right? What do you think a principle is? Yes. So, I'm waiting on y'all in the comment section. I want to know what a principle is. What are principles? How many of us have principles? You know, you need to understand these things, right? Imagine you have principles and you don't know what a principle is. Yeah, so I don't need a dictionary definition. I just want to know what you understand by principle. Emmanuel says a rule that governs something or someone. I love that, Emmanuel. This is a good definition. Laura says guidelines. Perfect. Anybody else? Anybody else? What is a principle? What do you think a principle is? One more try. Anybody getting anything? Values. Perfect. So we have three things: a rule that guides somebody, guidelines, values. So that's what principles are. Principles are guidelines, right? Yeah, a rule that is given in order for things to work. There are principles that govern the earth, the laws of gravity, right? Yeah, these are things that govern. It's a rule. Praise the Lord. So, meaning, if you observe this rule, you can achieve the result that you want, isn't it? You can achieve the result that you want. If you don't do Or if you don't observe the principle, you don't get the result that you want. Let's get into relationships real quick already, right? I love talking about relationships. They're very practical. So sometimes you find two people want a godly relationship, very beautiful, but they have never studied the principles that make a godly relationship work out. Right? They've never studied those things. They've never even tried to find out what do I need in order for this relationship to work? What do I need in order for me to function well in this relationship? How come I keep breaking up with my partners? How come people keep leaving me? Am I the kind of person that people just leave? Is there something wrong? Is there something I'm not doing? So even when, you've ex I think majority of us have experienced that. Who has ever experienced a heartbreak before? I love honest people. Give me a yes. You've experienced a heartbreak before, whether you're in a relationship or a situationship. I like honest people, right? I also have. It's not nice. Right? Yeah. Who has experienced? Anthony has. Oh, you see, brothers also experience heartbreaks, you see. So it's not just you, sisters. So I like honest. I like that we are honest, right? And it's really painful. Heartbreaks, not the best, right? But for everything that God has designed, for everything that's here on earth, there are principles that make that thing work. So even as you want to try out relationships, you need to make sure you understand what are the things that need, what things do I need for this relationship to work? I can give you a few things from the Bible. Proverbs 24, verse 3. I'm going to paraphrase, or maybe I can read it. Right? Let me read it for you guys. I see you guys already. I've noticed something in IBS. If I want to get your attention, I just need to talk about relationships. And I have people who are attentive. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse 3. The Bible says, by wisdom. So this is not in my presentation, but I'm going to quote the scripture anyway. By wisdom, by the way, this is just not for relationships, really for anything that you want to do. Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, by wisdom, a house is built. Wisdom. And then says, and through understanding, it is established. Oh my goodness. So I need wisdom. I need understanding. Verse 4, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So I need knowledge. Three things that make things work. Whether you want to build a life with somebody, whether you want to start a company, they all work. You need wisdom, you need understanding, you need knowledge. But how many of us have really taken the time to actually know how men are instead of having assumptions that society gives you? All men are like this. This is why we teach about relationships in IBS, so that you can have an understanding and so that you can have the knowledge that you need in order for you to successfully have a good relationships. But then if you don't attend the meeting, you're not gonna get where you want to get. Imagine you want to bake a cake. The instructor tells you, use these recipes and you're gonna get the banana cake. I don't know what you need to bake a banana cake, right? But there's a recipe. There's certain things you need. You need this, you need that, you need that, you need that. And then the instructor says, if you use all these things, you are gonna get banana cake. But you know what people do? People do their own things and then they get disappointed. Oh my God, I didn't get the banana cake. So principles work the same way. If you don't follow them, you're not going to get the result that is intended. But if you follow the principles, however, you'll get the exact thing. Amen. So you need wisdom, you need understanding, and you need knowledge in order to build a life with somebody, in order to start a company, in order for your business to work out, in order for you to have a good relationship with your co-workers, with your family members. You need wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. How many of us know that God has plans for us, right? And I love to interact. So I hope you be as interactive as you possibly can. It helps me to know that you're in the meeting, right? So it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So in God's plans, ladies and gentlemen, He actually wants to get you to a certain place. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that give you encouragement that God has a plan for you? Amen. So God wants to have certain plans fulfilled in this lifetime. Amen. But if those things are going to happen, you need to follow his direction. Look at what the Bible says in Joshua 1, verse 6 to 7. So at this point, Moses is dead, right? God tells Moses, go and see the land with your eyes. You're not going to get into the land, but you're going to see it at least. Have a glance. After that, you're going to die. Do you know Moses was told to die? Imagine that's I find that interesting. Moses is so like he doesn't even feel like dying. God tells him, look, it's time. It's time for you to come now. He's not sick. He's not tired of leading the Israelites. Because the Bible says at 120, he had like beautiful eyesight, all right? Perfect, sharp. It's not dim. No. The man Moses is strong, he's strengthened. So God says, I want you to see the land. So Moses is now dead. And you can imagine, ladies and gentlemen, to feel those shoes that Moses walked in. This is why this message is appropriate. Some of us have big dreams. Some of us, God has placed big visions in our hearts. And to do it can be scary. So what is God's encouragement to us? What is God's encouragement to Joshua after Moses is dead? So he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit. Look at what God says. There's no choice. Look, you're going to lead them to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. So God is repeating certain things. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. But look at what the Bible says. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. It says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So what is God saying? Follow the principles of Moses and you're going to be successful. Praise the Lord. Do you know that the word of God is God's instruction to us? God has everything to say about everything. He has something to say about your money. He has something to say about sexuality if you've never known. Oh my God, let me get there. Let me get there. Do you know, wonderful IBS, that this year I'm going to be teaching about sexuality for a whole month? It's gonna be wild in here. You know, it's funny. I keep envisioning the posters when we're sending out flyers. This, we are talking about sexuality from the Bible because people need to learn these things. What does the Bible actually say, right? The Bible has something to say about that. And we need to know if we are God's people. Otherwise, you do the wrong thing. So 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, I believe. It's not in my presentation, but I'm just trying to show you that God has a plan for everything. So 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, the Bible says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Oh, okay, God. Verse 4, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Okay, so God, what do I do when the feeling comes, the desires come? What do I do with these things? This is what we're going to learn, I think 5 months from now. In the meantime, principles. Principles are the things that help you to get success in everything. So there are principles that make your relationship with God work. There are principles that make you successful as a believer. Praise the Lord. So when Moses is dead, God now speaks to Joshua. look, you're gonna lead these people. Amen. You're gonna lead them to this place. So he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. So if we don't obey, if we miss one, you know, sometimes some Christians want to get to, you're trying to find like a loophole, you know, a loophole in the Bible. No, the Bible does not say anything about smoking. It says something about drinking. So I think I can smoke. So I found a loophole in the Bible. No, the Bible says, it says don't be drunk, so it means I can drink. Imagine for some Christians, when they're at the gate in heaven, Peter has to come out with some device that measures the level of alcohol intake because they're trying to see, did this believer get to the drunk point or not? Imagine, like, it complicates getting into heaven. Like imagine Christians giving heaven more work because, no, you know, God, you said I shouldn't be drunk, so I can drink, but I just shouldn't get drunk. So when we get to heaven, somebody has to come up with a device to measure alcohol intake. Oh, no, he can come through. He's at 40%. So he didn't reach the drunk point, so let him come in. Let's get to sexuality. No, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about this. It just says don't have sex. So I can do a few things. I can do some role playing with my boyfriend. You know, I can do a few things because the Bible just talks about the sexuality part. So, you know, we're not trying to find loopholes because I don't see this in the scripture. So I can do it. You're gonna miss out the life that God wants you to live. Praise the Lord. So principles are very important, right? And you need to know the word of God because if you don't know the word of God, you're going to find it very hard to be a strong believer. Look, let me tell you something, right? When you are single, you're good looking, you're tall and dark like I am, ladies and gentlemen, you know sometimes some of you are like that as well, right? I'm just a young, fresh on, and you know, Robbie, you don't understand. People like me, you know, when I get up, I'm the epitome of maleness, you know what I mean? I'm the epitome of femaleness. You know, people like me, so you don't understand. I've got game, I've got market, people say here in Zambia, right? I'm marketable. Ladies like me, dudes like me, right? So what do I do with all these people who are liking me? You have to follow principles. Praise the Lord. What is guiding you? Yeah, we understand you're good looking. We bless the Lord because God created you to be amazing, right? But if we are going to live our lives anyhow and ignore what the Bible actually says, we're going to find a bit of a challenge. Amen. So what's the first principle? Number one, be directed by a clear vision. Where are you really going? Vision, I mentioned, it's not a goal. Your vision can be, I want to build a house, right? Like I wanna buy a house, I wanna buy a car. The question is, what happens after you buy your house, after you buy your car? You're gonna want more things, isn't it? So vision has to be something that's not perishable, something that you can leave on the earth when you're gone. Now we know that this person had a vision in your country or in your community. You've noticed that people have to go abroad. Like, you know, many people like going abroad, eh? Like in Africa. No, let me go abroad because abroad there's better education. So God gives you the money. Why don't you build the kinds of schools that make people stay here? Because when Africans leave, they go on and develop countries that are already developed, and then here in Africa, we are still left in underdevelopment because they've taken the intelligence somewhere else. Do you see? So you don't always have to leave your place. I know, yes, sometimes life is challenging, but what I'm trying to say is that when God gives you a vision, you know it's from God. He's going to provide the resources that you need. And even as we're learning these things, you're going to discover, right? So to fulfill your vision, you must have a clear guiding purpose for your life. Amen. Look at Luke 2 verse 49. Jesus is very interesting. The Bible says, and he say to them, this is a point where Jesus is, you know, they're looking for him, right? They're looking for him because he was lost. They're looking for him. And then they find him. The parents are anxious. So this is response. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" There are many businesses, ladies and gentlemen, that are competing for your time and attention. But your vision needs the correct amount of time and energy given to it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself doing so many things and then you're not really going anywhere because I'm doing everything. I'm doing this and that. Oh, Lord. This is why everyone has to have a good relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, you never know what God has called you to do. Do you see what I mean? You never know. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, at a young age, he discovered that there is something that I must do. There's something I'm supposed to do here. So I must be about my father's business. Amen. Are we following? Praise the Lord. So under the same thing, the what and the why of existence. So the key to life is not only knowing what you are, but also why you are. It is more important to know why you were born, isn't it? Yeah, it's very important. That's why people like Nelson Mandela, they played a certain role. No, they did. They actually played a certain role. And sometimes you may not really feel like you're making a contribution to society or to your country or to your community until you see how life was before you made that contribution. There's need for you to rise and fulfill your God-given vision, because if you don't rise, people remain struggling. Your vision is meant to bring a certain benefit to those around you. So if you don't rise, we keep living in our mediocrity because this person has not risen. If you don't rise, people can't live out of obscurity. Because there's a person who's not discovered or not known why they've been placed on earth. I keep going back to the Bible. Each time God called somebody, it was for a specific thing. And usually the person that rose was rising because there was a challenge. So sometimes you feel, oh, this challenge. That's why you need to rise. Challenges are not always a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. They're not always a bad thing. That's why you are there. If that challenge is, why am I here? I can do something about it. It's not always about God. Oh, God will do it. But really, when we look at how God works, he uses people. He's not going to come down from heaven and come and do it. No, that's why he created you. That's why you are there. So you should be able to do something about it. Right? But if you're not concerned about why God created you, why God placed you here, you're going to find it very hard to do what he's called you to do. So you need to know why you were born. Amen. The other thing is that your true work is what you were born to do. Nehemiah 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one." I want you to pay attention. It says, "I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." Whoa, wait. Hold on. So the Bible is saying that God actually placed an idea. God placed a certain desire in the man Nehemiah. Oh, wow, that rhymed, eh? God placed a certain desire in Nehemiah. Wow, I didn't realize it was rhyming. Anyway, so God places that desire. Praise the Lord. And you notice that the Bible says the guy is now on the move. So God gives vision, God gives certain ideas in your heart and in your mind, but don't ignore them. So you keep wondering, how come for me it bothers me when this happens? It could be because your true purpose is tied to the burdens that your heart carries. Amen. Yes. Are we there? Today we're very quiet in the chat. Nobody's commenting. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we getting the message tonight? Praise the Lord. So very important. And I just want to mention the man Nehemiah, right? He was working for a king called Artaxerxes. He was a cupbearer. So he had a job, but the minute news came that the walls had been destroyed, he was depressed. He was touched. He's hurt. Oh no, they can't destroy the walls. So now the king notices that this man is depressed. Usually he's happy, he's excited, but how come he's depressed today? So this is what happens now. God was calling him to rise and to go and fulfill that vision. So now here you see the Bible says he arose in the night. Amen. God placed something in his heart. But notice, he says, I told no one what my God had put in my heart. The vision that God has given you, it's not for everybody to know. It's not for everybody to know because, people are not ready for the big dreams you have. I promise you. You know why? Because the average person likes mediocrity. The average person likes smallness. This is why when everybody's talking about struggling, yeah? You see how relatable it is. Oh, we are all struggling. We're all struggling. We're all struggling. And I understand, yes, you're coming from somewhere, but you shouldn't stay in your struggles. But it's more relatable. The minute you start to dream and think, I can live a better life, or I can live outside of this community, I can bring something to this community, then you become an enigma. You become weird. You become a mystery. This person, you dream too big. You can't really do it. Oh, but you're black. You don't have money. Oh, but you're female. Do you know that somebody tried this and they failed? So already people are discouraging you just because people love mediocrity. People like smallness. As long as you're small, you're okay. The minute you start to think big, dream big, then you become a problem. Right? Yeah, think about Joseph. He just told his brothers a dream. Everybody was offended. What do you mean we're bowing down to you? What do you mean? So we should bow down. And it's true because eventually they did bow. So that guy correctly interpreted the dream that he was having. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, so it's not everybody that you have to tell certain things. You have to wait for you to mature. Have people that you trust to say, look, this is what I've been believing. And look, me, oh man, I like big things. I like people to dream big. Really, I do. I don't like small things. Smallness, I don't like that, right? I want to be associated with greatness. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great, ladies and gentlemen. It just depends on the motive that you have. But really, there's nothing wrong with it. Right? Because your vision should be big enough to cater for so many people. Imagine you are able to start a certain company. How many people are you bringing in employment just because you started a company? Do you see what I mean? So that's why you need to rise. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so have a clear direction, right? Your dreams are worth writing down. I mention this a lot. You have a dream, you've not written it down. Write it down. What are you afraid of? And I know sometimes you can be skeptical, hesitant. How is it gonna work out? Don't worry too much about the how, the details. Write it down and present it to God. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, what does the Bible say? It says, commit your plans to the Lord. Yes. And then it says, He will establish them. So who is planning? Is it God or it's you? God is not planning anything for you, by the way. God already decided what He wants you to be. It's now your job to pull it out. That's why when you are praying, you can't just be praying about, Lord, I need money. Lord, I need money. It's a good prayer, but guys, your prayers are just about money? No. You need to start asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you've placed in my heart? What do I need in order for me to fulfill my purpose and assignment? Very important prayer. That's why tomorrow we're going to be praying differently. So please do come and I'm going to teach you how to pray like somebody who's from the kingdom of God. We can't always just be asking about money, 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 right? What is it that you're going to do here on earth? And then when the money comes, what are you going to do with that money? Is the kingdom of God in your plan? Or is it just for you? All right. So very important. Have a clear direction. Where are you going? Plan it out. Those who work very closely with me in IBS, I plan. And here's something I'm just going to share with you. It's not something I've always known to do. As you continue focusing on the vision God has given you, you're growing, you're learning. I like to learn, right? Every week, I deliberately learn something new. Whether it's about developing my leadership, whether it's about developing how to run an organization, I'm always learning. I like to learn. So be somebody who's very willing to learn and then move on bit by bit, step by step. You're getting somewhere, but there's a clear vision. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to do. I know what I need. Just write it down. I joke around with my leader sometimes that if you give me 100,000 right now, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. For sure, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it. I know I've like written down things. If I had 100,000, this is how I'm going to do it. Like I know what I'm going to do with the money, right? So you should have a clear vision, because if you're not writing down these things and then you find yourself in a situation where the opportunity comes, you're not going to know what to do with it because you are unprepared. You've not been preparing for your life in a certain way. So when the opportunity comes, it passes you by. Praise the Lord. So have a clear direction. Principle number two, develop, oh, pardon me, know your potential for fulfilling vision. When you discover your dream, you're also discovering your ability to fulfill it. There are some of us who feel, I can't do it. How many of us have been there before? Or you feel you can't do certain things? Even me, I've been there. I'm feeling, can I really do this? And by the way, it's really a human thing. You're not the only one. You're not the first one. Many people in the Bible responded like that. Joseph, not Joseph, Gideon thought himself as a weak person. And then God says, no, you are a mighty man of valor. Moses kept telling God excuses. Oh, God, I'm not good at speaking. So then God decides, okay, let's bring Aaron along and he's going to help you, right? But all of us, the minute you discover your dream, look, you're also discovering your ability to fulfill it. You will never really be successful in your vision if you truly don't understand your potential. And your potential is determined by the assignment God has given you to do. When God says you're the one who's going to be maybe the Moses of your family, for lack of a better term, he's giving you the resources you need in order to fulfill that assignment. But a lot of times we are scared because, oh no, the thing is where I come from, my tribe, my ethnicity, my this, my that. So we have every reason to feel we can't fulfill what God has placed in us. That's why you need to be studying the Word of God. And that's why you need to attend such meetings, because we are helping you get to the place where you fulfill your responsibility. Praise the Lord. Yes, when God places certain things in you, He knows you're gonna do it. So He's there. Oh, you can do it. God is not shocked. That's how come He can tell Jeremiah and says, look, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet. Look, it's not about your age, because Jeremiah is saying, God, I'm young. I'm a youth. I can't speak to these people. God is saying, look, there's no barrier. Praise the Lord. What I've placed in you, it transcends cultural barriers. It transcends racial barriers, or it transcends financial barriers, because I've placed it in your heart. Oh, you can fulfill it. Oh, yeah. God is a big God. He doesn't give small dreams. No. No. Amen. So when you discover this, nothing is going to stop you from fulfilling your potential. Let's move on. The power is at work within us. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I'm going to read the scripture very slowly. Now to him. So who is doing this? It says, now to him. So we're talking about God. It says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. So, do you feel that God can provide for the company you want to start? Really? Is that it? Right? And then look at what the Bible says, according to the power that works in you. Oh, my goodness. There's a power that works in you. So a lot of times, the reason why we don't get to where we want to get really is us. You keep doubting yourself. Can I really do it? Can I really do it? Can I really? Yes, you can do it. You know, sometimes getting ahead in life is really just about how you see yourself. If you're always going to think you can't, if you're always going to think I'm too small for this, I'm too young for this, they're not going to take me seriously. They will not take you seriously because you're also not taking yourself seriously. The thing is, Robbie, I'm shy. I'm insecure. Hello, this is about your vision. You have to forget about all that. In the end, you're going to have to live your life. 30 years from now, are you going to be happy with the life that you lived? Are you going to be excited that I was able to do all this for the Lord? I was able to fulfill my assignment. The Bible says about David that David served his generation. What about you? How are you serving your generation? How are you serving your family? How are you serving your community? How are you serving your country? How are you serving your continent? How are you serving the world at large? The power works in you. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's something that drives me. So when I'm thinking about IBS and I'm dreaming, it keeps me up at night and I'm just envisioning, oh God, because vision. It's beyond where you are. Vision is the safest transportation to your future. You are envisioning it. It's in my mind. It's in my picture. Oh, I can see it. So God pulls Abraham outside and says, look, look at the stars. Just look. These are the numbers of your descendants. Oh, it says, behold. So it means to see, to envision. So I begin to picture it. Praise the Lord. Look. There is nothing that can stop you. Amen. Because you know there's a power that's working in me. Look, I'm not using my own human strength. God is on my side. I can do it. God is on my side. So I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep pushing until I see, until I become, until everything that God placed in me is fulfilled because I owe it to my generation. I owe it to my family. I owe it to my community. And most importantly, I owe it to myself. To become the very thing God says I should become. Praise the Lord. Oh, no devil is stopping me. In Jesus' name. Look, you are on your bed and you're thinking, in the name of Jesus, the number of lives I'm impacting by building this hospital, in the name of Jesus, my ideas. This is how I pray. Lord, my ideas have room in my country. My ideas have room in the world. In the name of Jesus, nothing stops me. I keep moving on. Praise the Lord. I'm getting excited. Amen. Another thing you need to know, you are perfect for your purpose. So your skin color was needed for the assignment that God has given you. Don't let somebody make you feel like, oh, because of where you come from or your ethnicity, so it makes you look like a second-class human. Oh, no, please, no, no. When God created you and said, you're going to come from Zimbabwe, you're going to come from Bulawayo, you're going to have these family members, it's perfect for your purpose. You didn't have to have a different kind of skin. No, I need to be lighter. No. I need to be a different race. Oh, no. I need to have a certain kind of accent. Oh, really? No. It's not necessary. You are perfect for your purpose. Everything about you is determined by your purpose. When God built you and designed you and gave you the right makeup for it. Yes, I have the right amount of blackness and I love it. Oh my goodness, you should see me. I'm there and I'm looking at myself in the mirror like, boy, you fine. When God created you, he said, this is good. I don't need to look like somebody else. Oh no, I'm perfect for my purpose, man. I have the right height for it. Oh yeah, I do. I have the right family for it. So don't be thinking about all these things because look, these things are the things that limit us. Oh, I need to look like this. I need to come from this place. I need to be associated with a certain kind of people. Oh, no. When God fashioned you, he knew why he was making you the way he was making you. With your language, some of us in our languages, it accommodates click sounds. We love it. Yes. I'm going to come out there with my clicks and you're going to listen to my vision. Oh, Oh, yes, you will. No, you will, because I'm perfect for my purpose. Praise the Lord. Very important. Number three, let's move on. I hope I'm helping somebody. So we're almost done. There are only four principles for tonight. Number three, develop a concrete plan for your vision. So God gives the vision and we make the plans. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The Bible says to humans belong the plans of the heart. Oh yeah. You see the scripture, right? To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. So what is the Bible saying? Plan. Plan, 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 plan. If you don't know how to plan, let's have a conversation. I'll help you out. Look, I'm very free. I share IBS documents. You know why I share them with you? How many of you have ever read the IBS vision? There's an actual vision. You can just copy and try to use the same principles. How many of you know that we have an organization profile? I send these documents every now and then. So download them, read it, and just look at it. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a complex human. I don't have like complicated plans. It's just simple. I've written it down. We're gonna do it. Let's go for it, right? So download these things, and then if you want, let's have a conversation. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. Do you notice that God has given us the ability to plan? Do you know why He's given us the ability? Because God is a planner Himself. When you read in Ephesians, it says, before the foundation of the world, I chose you. Right? So, meaning He had a plan for you. And if we come from God, it means we have the same ability to plan. So it says, in the heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So God is saying, just plan. I'm going to walk with you. You're not doing this alone. No. You have help. Praise the Lord. You have backing. There's assistance you're going to receive. I'm right by your side. That's how come David could say, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I'm not going to fear no evil because you are right there with me. Your rod comforts me. So David is saying, look, and I like David. I like David. When Goliath comes, David has already won in his mind. It's just about your mindset, really. Do you notice when he's talking to Goliath, he says, I'm going to cut off your head. And yet he went with stones. So how is he going to cut off the head? He knew that, look, I'm going to run. I'm going to throw the stone. When I have him down, I'm going to get his sword. I'll use his own weapon and kill him. That guy won in his mind. So you learn something about warfare from studying the life of David. It's in your mind. If in your mind you feel you're not going to get it, if in your mind you feel you're not good enough, if in your mind you feel your dreams, your visions, your plans are not worth writing down, we can never know anything about you if you don't tell us, if you don't write your plans. We never know what becomes of you because you've never said anything. It's just in your heart. But when you have feelings for a guy, you can tell them. And yet your plans, you can't say anything. No. You have feelings for a girl, you can write a letter. Oh, the thing is, I like you, but plans you can't write. No, IBS. No. Be serious. Huh? Be serious. So we see the writing is not the problem, isn't it? It's not the problem. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So let's answer a few questions. So the blueprint of your vision, have you noticed? Brandon is here. Brandon is an architecture, yes? Brandon, when you're building stuff, do you have a laid down plan for what you're going to build? Give me a yes if you do. I love this. This is easier for me, right? You're about to construct something. You have the plans. Perfect. Do you see? So how are you going to know where you're going if you've not even written it down? So when contractors are building, there's a building plan. So I can follow this plan and I'm able to build what you want based on the plan that's written down. Praise the Lord. Even us in engineering, when I'm told to design something, I'm gonna go on my computer. There's something called AutoCAD. We're gonna do 2D design. There you go. You do the house plan there. You make everything beautiful. This is where the bedroom's gonna be. This is where this is gonna be. So we have the plan, we print it out, documented, perfect. So when I give it out, somebody can actually follow it with the specific dimensions. This is how big I want the living room to be. This is how long the passage should be because the dimensions are there perfectly for somebody to follow. Same thing with your life. You need to have a plan, write it down. The vision you have, or write it down. Amen. Number two, who are you? It's a question to ask. Who am I? Have you asked that question? Like, who am I? Am I just a black girl or a black guy? Am I just tall? Who am I? When people see me, is it just this tall guy? But who am I? So you need to know who you are. What is it that God has said about you? Praise the Lord. Yeah, you're very unique. Nobody can be like you. This is why you need to be your authentic self. Why should you be like somebody else? If you try to be like somebody else, then we're robbed of the kind of person you're meant to be. Then we never know who you are because we're trying to be like other people. Amen. Become happy or content with who you are. Praise the Lord, because God wanted you to be the way you are. Amen. Let's move on. Another one. Where am I going? So, where are you going? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going the next 1 year, in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years? I know we're not talking like that. It feels like this is a lot of thinking. Yes, you need to think about your life. Your life is worth thinking about, is it not? No, because you need to think about it. If you don't think about it, you know how life is. If you don't really plan, and then you go on the water. If you're not controlling the ship, it takes you wherever the current flows. I hope you know that. That's why you need the captain inside to control it and go to a specific place. But if there's nobody control that thing, you're gonna end up anyway. And that's how life is, really. Do you see what I mean? So write it down. This is what I want to do. Write it down. When I mentioned to my leaders, right? Every leader in IBS has something specific that I've given them to do. I told them, write down objectives of how you're going to fulfill this thing. I want to know what's your plan. And they wrote those things down because if you say I'm going to do that, I need to know how you're going to do it so that I can also keep you accountable. No, you said you'd be praying 10, 20 minutes every day. How are we tracking the prayers? Who's praying? Who's in charge of this? Who's making the prayer points? I need to know. You see what I mean? So I asked them, write down objectives, send them to me. Let's see how you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Then I'll keep you accountable. Amen. Another thing, your plan is material for your prayers. Do you know why sometimes we only pray about money, relationships? Because we've not written down certain plans for our vision. 90% of my prayers are about IBS. The other 10% covers me, my future wife, my family. And then, when the world sends me prayer requests, then I'll pray for them. But really, 90, 80% of my prayers are really about IBS. I kid you not. So I have things to pray about. Sometimes I've run out of time. I'm like, but I need to pray about this. Then I'll just add it to the next day. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to pray about this particular area or this particular thing. Do you see what I mean? So when you have a certain vision, you now have enough material for your prayers. Now you can be praying about your company. Oh Lord, this company, in the name of Jesus, I want to have this number of employees. I want this to be there. I want this kind of thing. So now you have something to actually pray about apart from the money, right? Okay, let's get to the last one for tonight, and we are out of here. Finally, number four, possess the passion of vision. Nehemiah 4, verse 6, NIV, it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. One of the things that I usually do with leaders who join IBS is I need you to be here. If you say a leader, be here. I need you to be a part of what we are doing. I need you to be in this vision. Because giving half your heart, it's not good enough for me. Because I can't depend on you like that. Because you know, if I call on you, no, the thing is I'm doing something else. Oh, okay. But when your heart is really in it. So the vision that you have, are you really giving it your or is have you reduced it to a hobby? Like I just do it every now and then. Is it now just a little hobby? Do you know a lot of times when people visit me on a Friday at 7 or 6, they're always saying, I always find you teaching. So they think I'm always teaching the word of God. They think I'm always having meetings. Sometimes they'll come on a Saturday, the same time, I'm doing the same thing. Sometimes they'll show up on a Sunday, the same time, I'm doing the same thing. They're thinking, this guy, this is all you do. And sometimes it sounds like they're trying to mock me, like I have nothing better to do. Oh, I'm living my best life. This is my life. I enjoy it. I love what I'm doing. Oh, yes, I do, man. I really do. I'm gonna sleep after 5 a.m. knowing that I've prepared what I'm going to teach on Friday, knowing that we've designed everything we need for the meetings. I've talked to the people I need to talk to who need to do certain things. We are planning picnics. We've made sure everything is ready. Oh, no, I have the passion. Yeah, I do. Right? So you need passion for what you're going to do. You really need it. Otherwise, you're going to give up. You stop. And then let's try again. You stop. Every leader or visionary, whoever did something great, they had passion. People sometimes are even willing to die for that vision. I'm willing to go to jail. This is why Nelson Mandela is respected everywhere. The man is known because he believed in a certain South Africa. He was willing to be jailed for it. That man, look, it's not a hobby, it's not games. No, he doesn't want money from it. It's more than money. Come on, man. You're going to prison for all those number of years, and it's just money that's in my mind. No ways. There's a vision I have. And you notice that even when he's elected president, you notice that he was not trying to divide people. He says, you know what? Instead of trying to, yes, we are angry, this happened, but why don't we find a way of living together? Oh, you're gonna be respected because you decided to stick with it. People laughed at you. They thought what you're doing was wasting time, but I'm going with it because you don't understand my vision the way I do. Yeah, you don't understand my vision the way I do it. This is where I'm going. I'm going somewhere. I need the passion. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, question, how badly do you want your vision? Are you hungry for your vision? How badly do you want what you're going after? You see, passion is a stamina that says, I'm going to do this no matter what happens. It doesn't matter how long I'm going to have to wait, I'm going to keep fighting for it. Praise the Lord. Passion for vision overcomes resistance. The minute you begin to do something great, people are going to oppose you. Right? But you're sticking with it. I'm not giving up. This is why now you involve prayer. Oh, I'm going to pray. If I have to fast, I'm going to fast. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. Because my purpose, my vision is worth fighting for. Yeah, it's worth fighting for. So I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep teaching until we have people who know the Lord. Oh, they need to know the Lord Jesus. So we're going everywhere. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Asia and have IBS Asia. We're going to Europe. Praise the Lord. Until we have Europeans who know the Lord. Yes, everybody needs to know Jesus. So we keep fighting and pushing. And that's why we need money. This is what I mean. Very big dreams, very big vision. And the Lord is going to provide all that. Amen. The last one is passion is willing to pay the price. I mentioned last week, vision costs you something. Amen. And this is the last one. Vision costs you something. Are you willing to pay the price? I don't have much of a social life. I really don't. because my days, on Saturday, and every now and then I do try really. I'm gonna go out with a friend. We're gonna hang out for a couple of hours. We'll talk because I also don't like to waste my time. Like, wait, let's just link up for no reason. No. I can't just link up. And then what? Because I need to know what we're going to do. Like, somebody just calls you, hey, let's link up tomorrow. Why? To do what? What are we doing? Because I need to know if whatever we're doing is worth the time. I need to know what are we going to do? Where are we going? What time? Because I need to teach at 7 p.m. So I need to know where we are going, what we're going to be doing, so that I also need time to come and prepare. This is very important to me. It's not a game. So you need to respect that. And many times people respect that. If you call me, say, let's hang out, I'll tell you, okay, cool. But I need to be somewhere at this time, so I'm gonna leave after this time. Is that okay? It's cool. If it's not okay, then I'm not coming. Right? Because there's no way I'm going to allow somebody to eat my time when I need to be here with you just because they said, let's hang out. No. So it should be costing you something. Are you willing to pay the price? Do you know how much you need to pray for you to get to where you want to get? Do you know how much money you have to put in it? Do you know how much you have to sacrifice for you to get to where you want to get? So are you willing to pay the price? Praise the Lord, because there's a price to pay. Amen. We've come to the end, but I want to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for everybody listening. Thank you, Lord, for everybody hearing the sound of my voice. I pray, oh God, that you speak to their hearts concerning the vision you've given them. The Bible says about Nehemiah that you placed in his heart what he was meant to do in Jerusalem. So, Lord, I pray that even as everybody listens to the sound of my voice, they have clarity, they have understanding, they know who they are, they know exactly why they were created. You begin to bless them with dreams, ideas. In Jesus' name, concerning that purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, O God, I pray. Amen.